All right, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We are broadcasting today from high atop International Tower, where we have many have come from east and west. People have even come from the southern hemisphere to join with us today here at Greek Club. So that just tells you what a remarkable gathering this actually is. And we are in chapter 7 of Hebrews. And we are going to pick up at verse 12. So the argument as it's running here, again, is showing, again, leaning very heavily upon Psalm 110, verse 4, that the priestly office of Christ is superior, and so the sacrifice of Christ will also be superior to the sacrifices offered under Moses. So in verse 11, we had a contrary-to-fact conditional sentence, which was irregular because it didn't actually have the on in the second clause. We talked about that a little bit last week. So the verse ends, what need would there be for another priest to rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not to be called according to the order of Aaron? Question. So now verse 12 is actually kind of a parenthetical comment. And then verse 13 is going to pick up with verse 11's thought. So let's just read verse 12, and it's not too bad. We'll translate it and get underway here. So verse 12, meta tethemenes gar tesio resines ex anankes kai namu metathesis genetai. So we start with a participle from meta tetheme. You can always spot with the forms, compound and simple forms of titheme, you can always spot a present stem form because it's got the tau iota in it. And this one then, once you've got that, you see what Dr. Vels calls the hamburger helper ending on the participle, and you're able to parse this as a present participle, middle or passive, feminine singular genitive. And then when you have tes hierozines afterwards, you see that you have a genitive absolute, right? So woodenly, priesthood being changed. Metatithemi means to transfer or change. So priesthood being changed of necessity, ex anankes, also a metathesis namu, a change of the law, genetai, happens. And now the only thing to clean up then would be to give the genitive absolute a more precise translation, and as often, probably a temporal. When the priesthood is changed, of necessity also the change of the law happens. And the whole point is, look, Psalm 110 verse 4 says, we need another priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then he's reasoning, if you have a change of priesthood, that means you also have a change of the law, right? So it's a kind of a salvation historical, chronological sort of argument. And verse 12 is kind of a parenthetical comment. Verse 13 is going to pick up again the thought of verse 11 about this different priest arising. So genitive absolute at the beginning. And then the main verb is just genetai, our friend from genomai, and the subject is metathesis. Namu there would be an objective genitive if you were going to label it change of the law, that is, you change the law. So that's verse 12. Comments, questions about that, anything? Mm-hmm. Yes? It could modify. The question is, the prepositional phrase of necessity, does it modify what goes before or what goes after? It could modify either. You just have to ask which one makes better sense. Actually, the presence of chi might lend towards it modifying what follows, because otherwise you sort of end up getting a genitive absolute linked with a finite verb with chi. which, at least to my sensibilities, not that they're all that finely tuned, looks odd. But I actually had the same question, Matt. I think you could take it so you would translate then, when the priesthood is changed out of necessity, well, and I guess you'd still have to translate Kai also. Although, it could make sense that way too. It's typically taken the other way. So, but a good question, good observation. All right, anything else on verse 12? Okay, verse 13. Efhungar legatai tauta, phileis heteros met eskeken, afheis udeis pros eskeken, to thesias tereo. So now we're going to pick up verse 11 again about the fact that another priest has arisen. Because, and it took me a while to figure this out, Efhon, Ep plus the accusative can mean lots of different things. The way the commentators suggest here is to take it like almost an accusative of respect, with respect to whom. And Han is parsed as masculine singular accusative after Ep, and its antecedent is priest back in verse 11. So, with reference to whom, tauta, these things, legatai, are being said. Now, with reference to that person, now we get the main verb. He has participated from met echo, or he comes from phileis heteros, another tribe. Met echo takes a genitive object. So, and met eskeken is a perfect indicative active. The principal parts of echo goes echo, hexo, eskan, eskeka. I can say it that way. And Alford's commentary actually made a significant deal about this, taking this as a true perfect. That is, he has participated and still does participate in another tribe. That is, our high priest is still a human, still descended from Judah, according to the flesh, as Romans 1 might put it. So concerning whom these things are written, he has participated in another or come from another tribe, and then afheis, from which, and now the antecedent of which is tribe, because it's feminine singular, right? From which, that is from Judah, no one. Now we have from pros echo, which means to pay attention to be devoted to watch carefully. And so if we translated it woodenly, from which no one has paid close attention to the altar. Thesiasterion is a long word. The only payoff you get means altar, right? And this apparently means to pay attention to the altar, or to be devoted to the altar means serve as a priest or serve priestly functions. And once again, pros echo is pros eskeken is a perfect. And so who can tell me what implication about the letter to the Hebrews might be drawn if you take that as a true perfect? That is, from Judah, no one has paid attention to the altar or is now in a paying attention to the altar resultant state. What does that tell us about Hebrews? Maybe. Well, it's before the destruction of the temple, right? Yeah, there are these hints. You, in a sense, you can't make a killer case, but there are these suggestions that Hebrews is written before AD 70. Otherwise, what's the appeal? Why are people being... I mean, I think that's the biggest sort of common sense observation. Who would be tempted to go back to an old sacrificial system if it wasn't happening, right? So... But grammatically, at least, if you take this as a true perfect toward the end of the verse, it would support that idea. And, of course, remember, here in the Missouri Synod, we've recently become very open-minded. We let non-Germans become pastors, right? Carlson, right? I mean, this is clearly not a German name. right? Gibbs is disgustingly English, right? Mars, what the heck is Mars?
Scottish.
Oh, my land. We've got a virtual potpourri of humanity here in this very room. But you didn't have that option in the Old Testament. You had to be a Levite or nothing, right? I mean, you're not allowed to volunteer. In fact, I just was reading the story of Korah, the rebellion of Korah in Numbers, where I say, oh, yeah, we'll be priests. Oh, yeah, as Keith Green sang long ago, the ground opened up and had some of them for lunch. So it's a big deal that Jesus is a high priest, but he's from the tribe of Judah. We've had a change of the law, change of the priesthood. The history of salvation has shifted here. Okay, grammatical questions about verse 13. Anything?
Yes, David normally follows
prosecco. Mm-hmm. I'm chewing my hamburger. Yeah, prosecco takes a dative. It can also take the apa plus a genitive. This is what you actually see in Matthew when he says, beware of doing your righteousness, or beware of men, or things like this. It's prosecco followed by apa plus a genitive, but the verb takes a simple dative, right, as the direct object. Okay, good. Verse 14. Pradelangar hati ex yuda ana tetalkan hakiria semon esein filein perihiareon udan mozes elalizan. Now, what you might see more often is just simply Delon Hati, clear that, and it's just shorthand for it is clear that. And Pradelon is just a kind of an intensification. You might say it is really clear. So you supply the it is part, for it is really clear that from Judah, the Lord of us, Anatetalken. This is from Anatello, which means to rise up, as in the rising of the sun, actually. But again, another perfect form. You see the duplication, the tet, and then the kappa on the end of the stem. So once again, our Lord has risen from Judah and still is in a risen resultant state, right? Perhaps grammatically emphasizing the fact, which many Christians who haven't ever thought about it don't sort of realize, that Jesus really still is a man. He really is still a human being. I remember being on the CTCR once. Well, I remember that for a number of reasons, but we were getting feedback from this presentations on church fellowship that were going on at the time, and a self-identified layperson didn't really like the presentations at all, and the person, whoever it was, actually wrote, "What would Jesus think if he were still alive?" This is a person who clearly hadn't thought through their Christology all that well. So, he is still alive. So, it is plain that our Lord has arisen from Judah, Esein. Now, literally, into which tribe? But, I looked this one up. Ace plus the accusative, maybe here it's suggested by the big shots, means kind of concerning which, rather than into which. Concerning which tribe? About priests, nothing Moses spoke. Right? So Moses hadn't said nothing about Judah when it comes to priests. Okay. All right, that's verse 14. Questions? Well, I take another bite of a hamburger here.
Now, this perfect tense, sometimes I get confused with it. It's not he has arisen and is still arising. It's
correct.
He has arisen and is in state.
Exactly. He's still up there, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
How about, is this a normal construction into which tribe? Is there another way to do that? Case, aim, put the relative pronoun to which tribe?
Greek likes to do that, actually. It's awkward. It likes to put the antecedent of the relative right after the relative when it's in a prepositional phrase like this. I'm trying to think of another example. Yeah, the way to do it is just kind of translate it literally, and then you get the sense of it. But yeah, that is actually a typical way of phrasing it. You don't even need Philein there, do you? Because Hain could modify Judah, as long as you understand it as a tribe, which would get the gender of the noun right. So,
just being more specific.
Yeah, yeah, it is a little awkward in English, but it is also typical word order. So, okay, good. See, now this is pretty easy. The sentences have gotten shorter. You know, back there in 5, when you guys were going to just despair and give up, and just relegate Hebrews to the category of useless anti-legomenon, you know, you were tempted. I know you were. But. Okay, verse 15. Kai parasateron eti katadelan estin, e kata ten hamayoteta melchisedek anistata hieris heteros. And, now parasateron is a comparative adjective. It means more abundant. And, since there's nothing to go with it here, and it could be parsed at least as neuter singular accusative, we'll take it as an adverb. And more abundantly still eti. Now we have another, this is katadelon is probably just more or less a synonym of pradelon that we had in the prior verse. And more abundantly still it is plain. And the writer kind of leaves out what's plain. You're just supposed to supply that. But we'll just continue into the conditional sentence. If, or into the conditional clause, if, according to the likeness of Melchizedek, another priest, hiereus heteros, anestatai, arises. This is the present indicative middle of anistemi, and it has an intransitive active meaning. So it's a middle or passive form, but it just means to arise in an intransitive sense. So what's the sense here? And more abundantly still, it is clear. What is clear? That our Lord has arisen from Judah? Or that there's a change of priesthood? See, I think maybe it's that latter. He's picking up an earlier part of the argument. Because otherwise it doesn't seem to make as much sense. If another priest arose according to the likeness of Melchizedek, it is more abundantly clear what is. I think that we've had a change of priesthood or something like that. Right? So grammatically, it's not too hard. It's just a little bit difficult to fill in the logical blank, so to speak. Otherwise, I think the forms are all fairly easy. Right?
Heteros, the main meaning is different, right? But it's come to mean another
here. Right, right, yeah. Heteros and allos in the New Testament lose the distinctions that they have in some older Greek authors, right? It just means another one, a different one, right? Right. Yeah, sometimes New Testament exegetes even claim that there's a distinction that allos and heteros, one means another kind of thing, and the other one means another of the same kind, but I don't think it plays out. I think that's a kind of searching for a fine distinction that probably isn't there. So, okay, good. And then verse 16. Oh yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Is there any significance or difference between anistatai and anistatalik from before?
Well.
Yeah,
that's a good question. The one difference might be that Anatello might evoke some more sort of messianic overtones, if I could say it that way, in a Jewish ear. The day springing from on high will rise upon you, you know, that kind of talk. That's the verb that's used here. Exactly. Exactly. So, sort of in this context, lexically, they're probably functioning as virtual synonyms. But the comment, that's a good question. The commentators do suggest that perhaps, Anatello is going to evoke in an educated Jewish Christian ear some of the Old Testament passages about, you know, the Son of Righteousness. That's Malachi, isn't it? Where's Reed Lessing or somebody when I need him? I think it's Malachi. The Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings and so forth. So, yeah, good. Good question. All right, and then let's do the verse 16. And then I actually have to, we'll stop at verse 16 because I have to sing in the choir at a funeral at 1 o'clock. So I think I have it timed. Hus u katanamen enteles sarkines geganen. Allah kata dinamin zoes a kata lita litu. Now we'll talk about the other priest. Who, that's the easy part, right? Who, not according to the law of command, fleshly one. Not according to the law of fleshly command has come or has happened. The perfect of ginomai there, geganen. Rather, now we just repeat the verb, he has come, he has happened, according to the power of a life which is not overthrowable, so indestructible, right? And by the way, this is, what a great opportunity this is. We can now stop with a completely useless and theologically vapid grammatical observation. Are you ready? Yeah, right. Zoes, the power of life, right? It's modifying power. Zoes is feminine, singular, genitive. But akatalitu looks masculine, right? Because us, u, o, on. Well, I'll have you know that adjectives that begin with an alpha privative are two termination adjectives. That is, the masculine and the feminine forms are the same. Now, does this matter? No, but that's why we do Greek Club, and thank you very much.
See, you got to be in it just for the joy, right? That's right. No payoff.